not in my partnership with a Chinese private businessman.
And on Capitol Hill, he attacked Republicans who subpoenaed him to answer questions behind closed doors. He says he will only in public. Comes on a day when House Republicans are due to vote on opening an impeachment inquiry into President Biden.
This is an investigation about public corruption at the highest levels. We have accumulated mountains of evidence that's concerning to an overwhelming majority of Americans.
Kentucky Republican James Comer. The Supreme Court's agreed to take up a dispute over mifepristone, the drug used in abortions. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
This decision could have a huge impact on the access to abortion medication by women across America.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The League of Women Voters says so-called election integrity efforts in the Wisconsin legislature are a wolf in sheep's clothing. The League's Deborah Cronmiller points to attempts to dismantle the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
Other bills that have been introduced, which sort of, I think, show the hand of this legislative body, is that they're not really looking for more integrity in our elections.
Governor Evers has vetoed a number of election bills in the past he says would make it harder to vote in Wisconsin. The University of Wisconsin Board of Regents is set to vote today on the same deal with Republican lawmakers it rejected Saturday. Among other things, it would trade more modest diversity efforts for money for employee pay raises. Governor Evers says he's disappointed by the process. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Security Health Plan in Marshfield will raise an American flag tomorrow in honor of soldiers overseas. The flag-raising ceremony celebrates staff member Gabby Schrader's husband, Sean, whose unit is based in Saudi Arabia. Gabby and her Security Health Plan co-workers sent a package of donations to Sean's unit. In return, Sean presented them with a flag that flew onboard combat aircraft during missions in August of this year. The ceremony will take place at 9 a.m. on Thursday at the Security Health Plan office on St. Joseph Avenue. The Marshfield High School Band will play, and Marshfield VFW Post 1866 members will be in attendance. The holidays can be stressful. Aspirus psychiatrist recommends some practical strategies to enhance well-being during this festive time. Remember, it's okay to say no. Be realistic about what you can and cannot do, and seek help if your stress or seasonal depression is overwhelming. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
New time for the Badgers home game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team moved up the start time of their game tomorrow night against Jacksonville State so that more fans can follow the UW women's volleyball match. That's against Texas later tomorrow night. So the basketball game will be the Badgers against Jacksonville State at 6 p.m. at the Kohl Center, followed by the NCAA Final Four from Tampa featuring Wisconsin against Texas. That's at 8:30. NBA, the Bucks host the Pacers, the team that knocked them out of the league's in-season tournament. As tonight at 5 Sir Form, Malik Beasley on facing Indiana after going into overtime against the Bulls the other night.
I mean, definitely a learning experience, especially with the game. You know, we went into overtime where it was a tie game 4 minutes ago, kind of the same situation, and we executed way better on both sides of the floor. So, you know, we owe these guys too, so we're excited to play them, and we want to get the win.
That's the Bucks' Malik Beasley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 35 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 24 tonight, high of 46 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 31.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Where are the rapids in Wisconsin Rapids? A stretch of water through the city was once called Two-Sided Rapids as it split around a huge boulder. But in this particular area, the boulder and rapids were lost due to dams being built with the goal of capturing the river's power in the early 20th century. For locally grown radio, WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers over on the board. It is Wednesday, December 13th, 2023, 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome in on what, Mr. Zommers?
Pump day!
Fantastic. Even in pre-recording, we're still getting it done. For those joining us today, we appreciate you being here. We are doing this show, well, we did it yesterday on Tuesday, because Mr. Zommers and I, as you are listening to the show, we are in a little staff-mandated meeting, Mr. Zommers, so I hope we're learning something.
I sure hope so.
Yes, we both do. But still, this is the kind of dedication that our friend Trygve Olsen has to this show, and we appreciate it so much. Like myself, a former Republican, has worked for big names like John McCain and Mitch McConnell and others, and more importantly, I would say, has done great work across the globe on democracy around the world, particularly in Eastern Europe. He is a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project and joins us each and every Wednesday. Trygve, thanks for making time for us today and being here, even though we're pre-recorded.
Well, you know what, Todd? It isn't often that I get to live in the future.
Right? And you,
yep.
By the way, Trygve got a new microphone and you sound spectacular this week. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I know.
And he's fresh off a plane, but still here you are.
I'm doing so much radio. Yeah, Packer really? Game, last Packer game on Monday night. Didn't turn out so great, Todd.
Now, we talked about this yesterday with Luke Mathers.
Joe Barry is the Rothman of of defensive coordinators.
Right? I mean, Packer, for those who don't know, Trygve is a Packers owner, like so many are. And what do you make of this? Because I just thought the Packers played poorly all the way around. But this prevent defense at the end of the game, I'm with the group that says, go after him, blitz, try to sack the Italian stallion. And if he slips past you, you've still got 45 seconds to score.
You know, I'd say like 45, almost half of the fans in our section were Packer fans, probably in the stadium, Todd. Pretty much when they scored with the minute 30 left, everybody knew it was going to happen. I think everybody watching on TV knew it was going to happen. I said to the guy next to me, like, watch, he's going to play quarters defense and get lit up. That's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
Honest to God, the Giants only needed to make like 40 yards. And the Packers kind of lucked into getting ahead in the game anyway.
Right.
That Barkley fumble was weird. Anyway,
but good on
I don't
him.
Know. We'll
good
see what him. Happens in Tampa the next week. But Joe Barry, not very good at his job.
Did you see any of the – here's the great story. I mean, not if you're a Packer fan, but I still love a good story. Jimmy DeVito, the guy who was the quarterback for Illinois last year when they beat the Badgers and cost Paul Christ his job, now the quarterback with the East Rutherford Giants – and gets it done again against another Wisconsin team. They showed his agent on TV last night, who looks like he's straight out of The Sopranos or The Godfather. I mean, to me, it's really entertaining. This kid still lives at home. His mom makes him chicken cutlets, and he's lighting up the NFL.
Yeah, they chant Tommy Cutlets, Tommy Cutlets, Tommy, yes. And clap. Yeah. I thought it was Danny DeVito playing quarterback for him at first, but I guess he showed us. He isn't much of a passer, but he can run.
Oh, he can. I think he's football smart too, a little bit. So Or the Packers just played like crap.
He might be kind of a one-hit wonder, but I don't think he's got Katy Perry's staying power.
No, I don't think so either. So you brought up you raised the specter of UW Assistant President Jay Rothman, who, as we record this yesterday now on Tuesday, Jay Rothman just emerged from this private meeting, closed door meeting with the Board of Regents to talk about this deal that went south this past weekend between Robin Voss, Republican Speaker, and Jay Rothman. And Rothman, after he came out of this meeting yesterday on Tuesday, refused to answer reporters' questions of whether or not he's considering resigning. In your experience, Trigvy, all the political things and things like, when someone doesn't answer a question or comment on whether or not you're considering stepping down, resigning, that's usually an indication that you are, yes or no.
Well, I don't know, honestly, because he made the threat, right? So the fact that he made the threat and is now seems to, I would say it says he's hedging, right?
Right.
He may have made, it also is pretty clear he was cutting deals with Robin Voss and writing checks that he didn't have he had insufficient funds to cash. Because truth of the matter is, he needed to make sure that his ultimate bosses on the Board of Regents were on board, and it's clear they weren't.
Well, so, that's the thing I want to ask.
I don't understand. Like, I think this guy is learning that this is not running a major law firm. This is running, a public institution, number one. And number two, I don't know. He might be slightly, and I mean slightly, better at his job than Joe Barry is, but not much.
Because there's been a lot of debate this week, and we went through it ad nauseum on Monday on this show, of the different positions, not so much positions, but the different takeaways from the failure of this deal over the past weekend. And really super quickly, I call it kind of the Tom Loftus regent position, which is we voted this down because the precedent is dangerous. And that if we support this, it basically says the whole budget process is moot, that doesn't mean anything anymore, and it weakens UW system. That's one point of view. Then there's kind of the Dem, progressive, liberal point of view, which is we, quote-unquote, and the regions won. We stood up to Voss and Republicans and hate and MAGA, and you can't roll over minorities anymore, and that we have Voss where we want him, and we brought him back to the negotiating table, and DEI is not going to be on the table. Then you've got the GOP and MAGA message, which is, look, Voss went from a position of cutting all diversity, equity, and inclusion jobs at UW down to a third, didn't fire anybody. The system basically gets all their money, their engineering building, reciprocity, the 5 and 10% guarantees for admission across the system. And look who's really the extreme people over here, the people who want 100% on nothing and who want indoctrination. Their words, not mine. And then I basically said, I just think it comes down to poor negotiating on Voss's part, or pardon me, on Rothman's part. And this is the question I want to ask you, Trigvy. You've been in the rooms with people like Mitch McConnell and John McCain, who really know what negotiating is. Rothman and his team just don't seem to have a clue of how you build deals and count votes.
I think it's the latter and not the former, Todd. I mean, the guy was head of one of the biggest law firms in the country, right? You got to figure that he understands negotiation. I mean, that's 3/4 of what lawyers do, at least at super lawyer level. Mm-hmm. But I think what he probably wasn't cognizant of is what his constituency. So he may have been able to do a good job of cutting a deal with Voss, and it may be that he I just think he didn't understand that ultimately he had to not – he was negotiating. He was the intermediary between the Board of Regents and Robin Voss, not
the negotiator. The Cap Times reporter last week on Friday when this deal was announced had a great question. She asked Rothman, were there any people of color at the table when you were negotiating this? And he took 30 seconds to say no. I mean, when the subject is diversity, equity, and inclusion – and you don't include anyone from a minority community, that to me seems tone deaf. I mean, you think about guys like Tommy Thompson when he reformed welfare to work in this state. Who did he have standing behind him? Black single moms saying, we've talked to folks like these and we are here to help them, and they've bought into this.
I think it's a classic case of maybe Rothman not understanding the board, right? Like you'd think that he would know that he's probably going to get the 7 Republican appointees, 15 members of the Regents, correct?
Right.
Yeah, 8 to 7. So you would think that he would want to have in his pocket 2, you know, of Evers' appointees. And probably like trying to get the governor's people and some others as he's negotiating with Voss, serving as the intermediary there. The problem is you got Rothman, who kind of was, you know, he was selected by when Republicans sort of more controlled the Board of Regents. He basically was negotiating with Voss, but he was negotiating towards a middle position, not understanding who the real other side that was negotiating with Voss is in this.
Yeah, it's
it doesn't help that he stepped in it, you know, last week too.
It just seems to me that moving forward now, it seems like at least some of the regions aren't going to trust him. The many people in the faculty and staff and the system aren't going to trust him. Certainly, Robin Voss has the upper hand or the upper ground now in the legislature. They don't trust him, and I think even some Dems and progressives don't trust the guy. I don't know how you move forward to that position and be credible going forward.
Well, let's just look at it a slightly different way. If Tommy were still acting president, would that negotiations and what the board did have gone down differently?
Of course.
It would have.
Yeah, I suspect it would have too. Very differently.
I'm pretty sure if Tommy had cut a deal, it wasn't going to get upended at the Board of Regents level. Pretty sure.
You know it. I mean, you work for guys. I work for guys, leadership. And they say, look, have you got the blankety blank votes? Because if this doesn't go through, you're done. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we face as staffers.
Yeah. I mean, I think the best analogy is, you know, Rothman was writing out checks to get buy-in that he didn't have the funds to back up.
Yeah. I think you're right on that. We're going to change gears here. We're going to come back in a moment here and discuss more with Trygve Olsen, if I can say his name right, senior advisor to the Lincoln Day Project. Lincoln Day? I'm a little tired, Mr.
Lincoln
Zombers.
Day Dinner Project.
See, yeah, these are my years.
There's going to have to be a lot of conversation at Lincoln Day dinners this year.
And we'll come back. We'll talk about what some people may be talking about at Republican Lincoln Day dinners in the new year. Talk politics. It looks like Chris Sununu endorsed Nikki Haley last night in New Hampshire. Could she be the chosen one to unseat the orange one? We'll ask Trygve Olsen on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Medium Radio Network.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's informative.
Have neither of you been on sleigh rides before?
Yeah, never. Never. No. I've never been on.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've been on like dozens. Oh, no, my gosh.
We gotta do
and I don't even like winter.
What kind of life are you living, Seth?
He was way up in the... He was in the, like, really...
Northern Minnesota, yeah. I mean, come on.
Every neighbor has a sleigh in their barn.
Big words from someone from Toma.
Oh, it's on now, bro.
Every weekday from 8 to 10 on locally grown radio.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday, hump day, December 13th, 2023. Now, 20 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along with us. Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project. Boy, I got to get some more coffee. Even as we're pre-taping this show, by the way, folks. We pre-taped it yesterday on Tuesday, and we're doing a bunch of these as we get ready for the holidays, other stuff, and Mr. Zomers, I got to double up my caffeine or something.
I feel that, yeah.
I apologize. Talking to Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project, and Trigvi, thanks for making time with us on this Wednesday. Let's talk a little bit about Lincoln Day dinners. For those of you who don't know, it's kind of the annual dinner for the Republican Party in counties and states across America. Last night in New Hampshire, Republican Governor Chris Sununu endorsing Nikki Haley. What do you make of that? Does the former governor and UN ambassador have any chance of knocking off Trump?
You know, I would never say never. I think it's a long shot. You know, Haley has got to finish second in to have a shot. Nikki's going to need to finish second in New Hampshire, in Iowa, where she's in a pretty competitive heat for second with DeSantis. Then she's going to need pretty much everybody to get out, but I don't think Ramaswamy will get out, but I don't know that really matters. And then, you know, I mean, could she upend Trump in New Hampshire? Yeah, maybe. You know, Trump's polling numbers, Trump campaign just put out recently a bunch of polling numbers that show Trump at, you know, 67% in Alabama and like all these states. What they're not telling you is, you know, they're at 50% in they've dropped to 50% in Iowa, so sort of right on the precipice. But they have a multi-candidate field, and then, you know, New Hampshire is a little bit of a New Hampshire is interesting because independents can vote. I mean, the way Nikki Haley would win is second in Iowa to have a shot. She'd take second in Iowa. She'd win New Hampshire. She'd have a bunch of momentum. And then probably have to get Trump on a debate stage, have him melt down a little bit, and then win South Carolina. And then I'll start. Then I think we can have a real conversation. Can she beat him? But she's kind of got to pull an inside straight.
Yeah. No, that's a good analogy. I want to talk about these poll numbers that came out. I know you've warned us before. Be very careful of any poll numbers this far out. But finally, we have some poll numbers from Reuters yesterday showing that Joe Biden was up by 4% in places like Wisconsin, kind of these swing key states, Wisconsin, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona. What do you make of that, if anything?
Well, I mean, there's been a bunch of polls. There were some polls that show Trump, ahead in Michigan. Wisconsin has consistently showed the race tied or a slight advantage towards Biden. And I've done some survey work in Wisconsin fairly recently that kind of shows the same thing. You know, I think, we're 47 weeks till the election, and what isn't going to change is Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Arizona are going to be ground zero this thing, just like they were last time. You're going to hear a lot of talk about Georgia, but the reality is if Biden's winning Georgia, Biden's probably winning Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan. If, you know, Trump's winning Georgia, that doesn't mean he's going to win Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. Michigan, and Wisconsin. I think all three of them present some really unique challenges for the Biden campaign and for the Trump campaign, quite frankly.
Jack Smith, special counsel prosecutor this week, has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to decide the question kind of in advance on whether mm-hmm. Donald Trump can be prosecuted and held accountable to court of law for alleged crimes that he committed while president of the United States. I think it's kind of forward thinking. It kind of speeds things up because Trump could use that to delay or to appeal. Jack Smith wants an answer now. How do you think this plays moving forward?
Well, I'm not a lawyer. I know it's about something because I've been reading Liz Cheney's book. It's about mm-hmm. something called the immunity clause that has been claimed by administrations and presidents. And, you know, Mark Meadows tried to claim it. So, chief of staff, that they're immune from prosecution for any crimes they may commit as president. Honestly, I mean, I just think you don't need to be a Supreme Court justice to get that. That's just ridiculous. Right. Yeah. Like, president can't commit crimes. He can shoot someone on Fifth Avenue, to use Donald Trump's analogy, and like, well, as president, that doesn't count. I don't think that really works that way. That said, I think it's a smart move based on what I've read, because Jack Smith is basically saying, I'm not going to let Trump string it out through appeals. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and get this done ahead of time. And I know somebody, Jack Smith, as I understand it, was over in, he prosecuted war criminals at one point for the Justice Department, or helped at that. Mm. Like, I was talking to somebody that sort of knows that piece of his career. And I mean, he's a serious dude.
Very interesting. So. I did not know that. That's interesting mm-hmm. stuff. About 2.5 minutes left here, and appreciate the time with us today, Trick V, from the Lincoln Project. Talk to us a little bit about Liz Cheney. You brought her up. She was on Colbert this week on The Late Show. Mm-hmm. And, she's doing this tour. We talked a little bit about this on the show yesterday. And remind us of your theory again, of the enemy of the enemy is my friend. Because there's a lot of folks that are trying to say, well, you know, your dad did this, and you're the third person in line in the House of Republicans. And you're not all, you know, somebody we want to cozy up to. But she maintains, Liz Cheney does, that, look, this is an existential threat, unprecedented, and regardless of things that have been happening in the past, there's been nothing like Trump that we have to deal with now, and we have to come together to defeat him moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the challenges I've seen around the world when autocratic forces and autocratic actors emerge, right? Like, and that's what Donald Trump is. He tried to overthrow the government on January 6th. People want to, I have 7 rules for dealing with autocrats. If you go on my Twitter feed, you can read them. Every time I put them out, they get thousands of likes. And I have all kinds of famous people who like them, actors and gladiators. No, I don't know. But
gladiators? Any Packers fans
Luke Skywalker liked my 7 rules.
Wow.
And fantastic. That was a rush. But anyway, 7 rules. One of the rules, first rule, rule number 1, I wrote them for when I was working with people around the world fighting guys like Lukashenko, Putin, Chavez. Rule number 1 is play the game you're in. You have to understand, this isn't politics as usual. And if you do not do all you can to keep Donald Trump out of the White House, then you are partially responsible for the consequences of him being there. What I mean by that is, a vote for Robert Kennedy Jr. is ultimately a vote for Donald Trump. A vote for Larry Hogan or No Labels, Trump. Rule number 6 is a Stalin rule. I call it that. Churchill and Roosevelt understood that Joseph Stalin was the second worst human being to ever walk the planet. But they were fighting and confronting the worst human being, Adolf Hitler, to ever cross the planet. And you know what? To live to fight another day with Stalin, they worked with him. We kept the Russians afloat. And it was a good move. So you have to practice the Stalin rule. You can think that Liz Cheney is Darth Vader's spawn. I've mentioned to Liz, I was on a call where somebody did that, and it got a laugh. But
she's fighting for freedom and fighting for democracy.
She's fighting for freedom and democracy. And you read her book. There's no way you can't read her book and not respect her.
Trick V. Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Thank you so much, my friend. See you next Wednesday. Thanks for making time for us today.
Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure. Stay tuned next. More pre-recorded show for you on this special edition of the Todd Allbowl Show. Thanks for joining us on Wednesday, December 13th.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station. From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's been 6 months since a teenage boy from Reedsburg vanished after running away from home. The Sauk County Sheriff's Office says there are no new updates in the search for James Yablonski. He's been missing since mid-June when his father says he ran away from home. Clues turned up in and around Devil's Lake State Park near Baraboo this summer, but no new developments since then. Authorities and James's father say they're still looking for him. Wisconsin voters may someday choose their candidates for Congress in a very different way. A bipartisan ranked choice voting bill got its first hearing before a state Senate committee yesterday. Under the bill, all candidates for U.S. House and Senate would appear on one primary ballot together, regardless of party. The top five candidates would advance to the general election. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Farmers Union honored several individuals during the 93rd Annual Wisconsin Farmers Union State Convention last weekend. Receiving a Friend of the Family Farmer Award, Inga Witcher was recognized for going above and beyond in efforts on behalf of family farmers and rural communities. Inga is a fourth-generation dairy farmer, milking cows and making cheese on her small farm in Osseo, Wisconsin. She co-created the PBS television series Around the Farm Table, which is now in its 10th season. Locally, she's given presentations at the McMillan Library in Wisconsin Rapids, most recently this fall. The WFU State Convention drew more than 200 farmers to Wisconsin Dells for a weekend of networking, educational workshops, and grassroots policymaking. The Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater presents a live radio production of A Christmas Carol this weekend. Performances are December 14th through the 16th at 7 p.m. at Century Theater in Stevens Point. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
A new time for the Badgers home game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team moved up the start time of their game tomorrow night against Jacksonville State so that more fans can follow the UW women's volleyball match. That's against Texas later tomorrow night. So the basketball game will be the Badgers against Jacksonville State at 6 p.m. at the Kohl Center, followed by the NCAA Final Four from Tampa featuring Wisconsin against Texas. That's at 8:30. NBA, the Bucks host the Pacers, the team that knocked them out of the league's in-season tournament. As tonight at 5 Serve Forum, Malik Beasley on facing Indiana after going into overtime against the Bulls the other night.
I mean, definitely a learning experience, especially with the game. You know, we went into overtime where it was a tie game 4 minutes ago, kind of the same situation, and we executed way better on both sides of the floor. So, you know, we owe these guys too, so we're excited to play them, and we want to get the win.
That's the Bucks' Malik Beasley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 35 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 24 tonight, high of 46 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 31.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights, at least they're not Bud Light, at 10:30 in the morning. DC on a Thursday.
DC Tell, that's 9:30 Central. Crudy, that's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back on location here in Richland Center, Wisconsin, home of WRCE News from the Center. Heard locally on AM 1450 and FM 107.7. Also our sister station, Country and Community, WRCO, on FM 100.9. Great stations. This is where I learned the craft of radio, right here in this very station. Well, the building's actually changed, but at this company and station, and great people like Phil Nee here. We appreciate him and all the fine staff at WRCE, WRCO, 35 minutes now past the hour. And once again, we have our ongoing contributor and friend from EPOMS World. You can find all of the work at EPOMSWorld.com. That's E as in Edward, and then B as in boy, A-U-M. World, actually it's plural, EPOMS plural, world.com. Peter Rapine joins us once again on a Friday, as he does every other week, for a little week in review. Mr. Rapine, how the hell are you?
Doing great today, Todd. Doing great. Thanks for having me back.
It's great. Now, I understand that you look fantastic, by the way, on the stream, but you were you were out maybe a little late last night.
Yeah. So EPOMS World, we had our holiday party last night, and so I'm maybe not as sharp as I would be today. I think I took too many candy cane shots last night, but I think it was worth it. As I was telling you,
this I want you to tell us on the air, because you started telling us off the air. I'm like, this is fantastic. So you went there, you scheduled this holiday party for your company, just thinking it was a cool little bar, and you get there, and what do you find out?
Yeah, so we find that we're in the middle of a singles mixer. There was maybe 20 or 30 singles all there for speed dating. And our table, you know, we were there hanging, drinking, and we kind of got roped in, which was quite the event for us. Yeah, people kept coming up to us with playing cards saying, I've got a 2, I've got a 5. Like, what do you guys have? And we just had to shake our heads saying, no, we're taken. Sorry.
So you're in the middle of a singles mixer. People don't know that you're not playing the game. And this is quite a compliment to you guys, that people are coming up, you know, wanting to put you in the mixer.
Exactly. Yeah. And, the night kind of played its course. And I had, like I said, way too many candy cane shots. And I was making my way out. I had exited the bar. I was about to leave, go home. Mm-hmm. Some guy stops me, hands me a card with someone's name on it and a phone number, which was flattering. And then he also handed me a joint. And I accepted both. And then found myself back in the bar for another extended period of time when I should have been on the train.
So this is, sometimes life just takes you, it's the unexpected. That's the beautiful part of life. And you went there for a holiday party and you ended up getting a number and hanging out with people that you didn't expect to hang out with.
Exactly. Yeah. And I got to brag to all my coworkers who no one else got a number. So I walked back in. I'm like, hey, guys, check this out. And I throw the card on the table. Yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, you live life, you know.
I know. And the bar was great. It was like fully decked out in Christmas mm-hmm. decorations. It kind of felt like we were in a rom-com of sorts.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it was an eventful night.
Well, good.
Also, an eventful week in content. I know.
Right.
People will, if they've been following the George Santos story, it has sadly come to an end today. our headline that we're running right now is Diva Down, Memes and Reactions to the Ousting of George Santos, which, you know, he's got a long rap sheet of making incredible stories up, lying about being on varsity, you know, volleyball teams, his mom dying in 9/11, all this crazy stuff. But mm-hmm. through all that, he's kind of become a gay icon on the internet. And so Twitter is actually kind of sad, because they were really starting to love the guy.
Right.
Well, we covered it. We covered kind of the serious part of it earlier in the show. That, you know, he was voted out only the sixth person in the history of the U.S. House of Representatives ever to be expelled from the House. But yeah, the guy is just, I mean, he's over the top. I'm not sure if he's told the truth about anything in his life, from his name to, you know, his sexuality to his religious preferences to his family tree. I mean, it's just one lie after another.
And, you know, you kind of have to respect a guy who's going to use campaign funds to fund his OnlyFans. Like, he's spending, you know, his representative's money on OnlyFans.
Did he really? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I think four different OnlyFans accounts he was subscribed to or somewhere in that vicinity.
Great. I mean, he's a man of the people. Come on. Come on. Who among us can judge that? I can't judge that.
Anybody wants to go on, you know, have an OnlyFans account or what? God love them, but I mean, to use the money from your contributors to your political campaign, I have a feeling that's not the intent when they gave a donation. I'm just surmising.
No. Yeah, I think George Washington would probably, you know, turn his nose up at that one.
Even George Washington wasn't buying hookers back then. You know,
Who knows?
That's one of the things that I get a kick out of is that, you know, people who try to make the founding fathers and, you know, the founders, they usually say, but, you know, back in the day, most of them were men. Yeah. But they try to put them off this pedestal as these examples of morality and Christianity. And there were a handful of them were. But also, I mean, it's well known if you look at history. I mean, Benjamin Franklin, you know, he either wasn't a woman he didn't like, and he wasn't an alcoholic beverage he didn't like. The guy was a partier, you know, and he still was a great writer.
Yeah, no, hey, you can be both sometimes, right? You can party and get the job done.
Witness the holiday party last night.
Yeah, exactly. You know, sometimes bonds are really forged in fire, and sometimes that fire is, you know, straddling the toilet late at night.
It happens. So to your point, though, George Santos, I mean, it's unfortunate for people in your world, at EPOM's world and other places, you know, where comedy and satire is your business. Yeah. I mean, this guy is just one great headline after another for you guys, right?
Exactly. No, it is. And he's not going away. You know, he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars probably in a couple months, and then he'll be on
the RuPaul's Masked Drag Singer. Race.
Yeah. Yeah, something. Yeah, Masked Singer, any of those ones. And George, if you're listening to this, you know, our door is always open. So, you know, come on down, man. Come on down.
All right. Well, we're the last week of November here. Any other headlines that are really catching your eye on epomsworld.com for this past week?
Yeah. So there was this story coming out of Canada. This guy, and I forget his name, but he was arrested for starting forest fires. But the irony of it was he was posting about these fires on the internet, creating all these conspiracies about who's starting these fires. And it turned out, well, he was the one who was starting the fires.
What a nut job.
Yeah.
What I love about EPOM's world is this isn't stuff. This isn't fiction you guys just make up. These are all real things that actually have happened in our world that you guys have parsed out and found.
Yeah, there's no way we can make this up. The headline that we ran was, "Man who says government was starting forest fires arrested for starting forest fires." So it's kind of, hey, man, sometimes you do have to look in the mirror and go, oh, I am the bad guy.
Right? But I mean, there's a special type of person that thinks, you know, that you could be starting, you know, doing a crime and then running around going like, who's doing this? This is outrageous.
I mean, you'd be surprised. A lot of people can have pretty successful political careers doing just that, though.
Right? And that's always, as someone who spent a lot of my life in politics, that's what I've said. It's like, look, and people want to have different views from me, that's fine. It's a free world. But it's the hypocrisy, Peter, that always gets me. It's the people that hold themselves up as holier than thou. I mean, I didn't even get to it today, but there's a story breaking out of Florida right now that this Moms for Liberty person and a couple other schmucks down there are having a menage a trois. And there's this big sex scandal right now involving Moms of Liberty and Ron DeSantis. And I mean, these people are going around judging others and acting all holier than thou. And behind closed doors, they're having sexual menage a trois. You know, God bless anybody, you know, who gets invited. I mean, God love them. But I mean, don't point the finger at others and say it's wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Hypocrisy is probably one of the worst crimes I think a politician could commit.
But one of the best place, one of the best things for people who do satire and who do what you do.
Yeah, no, yeah, it keeps the lights on, so to say.
We're talking to Peter Rapine from EPOM's World, a great website, one of the oldest sites around. And I don't ever think gets enough credit. And this is one of the great things. I love having you on the show every other week, Peter, is A, we get to promo you, but B, we get to parse out some of these things that actually happened over the last week or so that we might not have heard about. Any other headlines this week you'd like to talk about here?
Yeah, so this story, I think, happened last weekend. It might have actually happened. No, it happened in Michigan, in Ann Arbor. Mm-hmm. There's a 12-year-old stole a forklift and then went on an hour-long chase. He led police on an hour-long chase in this forklift. He ran into a bunch of cars. But the footage is just, like, absolutely hilarious. And it's not really... I think a forklift only goes 10 miles an hour, so it wasn't quite a high-speed chase. But our kicker was, you know, I don't know, you know, if you guys are big gamers or if your audience is, but GTA 6 is coming out soon, and clearly the kids are hungry. They're really excited for GTA 6. Probably a little too excited.
Mr. Zomers is our resident gamer here, Mr. Zomers. Are you into this now, this gaming?
GTA 6, I feel like, well, it's... irrefutable that GTA 5 is one of, if not the number one highest grossing video games of all time, just because of their continued support of it. So GTA 6 is going to be played by a lot of people and make a lot of money. That is for sure.
There you go.
I think GTA 5 might even be the most, I don't think a piece of media has ever made more money than that game has.
I think,
like,
you're right.
Movies, books. Like, wow. It probably rivals, like, the Bible as far as, like, total sales goes. It's insane. Yeah.
See, this makes me feel very old and very out of touch because I have no idea what this even means. But I'm not, I mean, the last really big gaming I got involved in with Peter was my Atari. Back in the 80s, right? You know, I just never got into the whole gaming scene. I don't know. Not one of my things. But I know it's a huge deal for a lot of people.
Oh my gosh, yeah. For kids, it's, I mean, most kids these days, that's how they interact with their friends. You know, we used to, back in my day, you go to the skate park, and sure, you know, kids are still doing those things, but Roblox and Minecraft and Fortnite, that's how kids hang out.
Isn't that crazy? And they hang out and they go online and they play. I have two godsons, and one in particular, he'll play these games with people all around the country
or around the world.
Around the world. Yeah. It's a whole new way of socializing.
Another story we had this week that was kind of fun and keeping in line with, you know, the holiday theme is a video of a woman who isn't aware that she's being filmed, and she's in what looks like her company's break room. And our headline is, coworker who thinks she's alone ravages office chocolate cake. And she has a spoon in her hand, and she is, I don't know if you call it double dipping when you're doing it with a spoon, but she is doing that. And she's just eating it and eating it and eating it, which, hey, I would love to eat a chocolate cake. Right now, if there's a chocolate cake in front of me, I'd be doing the same.
Yeah.
But when your coworkers are filming you going to town on a cake, right, that's, we are going to be there. And we're going to, you know, make the world know that you did that.
But, I mean, do you think that she, apparently you said she didn't know, but I mean, to have a camera in the office break room, I mean, there's a little bit of a, you know, should the employees know that?
Oh, well, no, she's being filmed by her coworkers.
Oh, she's intentionally being filmed.
She's intentionally being filmed. Yeah, someone is being like, oh, Cheryl is eating the whole cake.
Oh, that's fantastic. There's one I'd like to explain because I just like it here. There is a woman, looks like she's tonguing a wolf. And the headline is, white women are never beating the allegations. Why is this woman's tongue kissing a wild wolf?
Yeah, so that one is pretty self-explanatory. It's a short video, and there's not a lot of context. And this woman is out in the wilderness somewhere, surrounded by snow, and this wild wolf walks up to her. And the two must have been lovers in the past life because they just start going at it. She opens her mouth fully, and this wolf has like half of its snout. Just, it's a disturbing video, to say the least.
So far, my favorite story of the week. Back with more of Peter Rapine on the other side from EPOM's world. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Whether shopping online or in person, Knucklehead CBD and Vapes has everything.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. No one was moving, no one was there. The septic had backed up, there was yuck everywhere. It wasn't a good thing, no, not at all, to have that smell linger through bathroom and hall. Mom was left crying, the kids plugged their noses. Dad tried to fix it with buckets and hoses. But then came the answer for everyone there. They called Crockett Septic in their time of despair. Crockett Septic came running with the help that they needed. The family was saved, the problem was treated. Crockett Septic had fixed it, the problem was gone. No smell in the house, no leak on the lawn. And now there's no reason for the family to cry. Even the Crockett Septic truck smelled like sweet cherry pie. They jumped in their honey wagon and drove out of sight with a Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Crockett Septic can handle all your septic, holding tank, and porta potty needs. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. That's 712-3456. Merry Christmas from everyone at Crockett Septic.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Radio Network, it is now 10 before.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. This is Aaron, the producer, letting you know that you're listening to some pre-recorded content. We have here an interview with Peter Rapine from EBOM's World, where he's going to share with you some of the greatest stories from the last couple weeks. You won't want to miss this one. You may have heard it before, but it's some pretty funny stuff, so I'm sure you'll enjoy.
Direct, you're not going to want to miss it. Taking us to the front lines of history being made every minute of every day. It is Matt Flynn Direct coming up after the news at the top of the hour. Right now, we are honored to have our guest with us each and every other Friday. He is Peter Rapine of EPOMsWorld.com, taking a look at the week or so in review. And again, the great thing about EPOM's World is that this is not fiction. It's not something that people just sit down and completely make up. These are actual things that actually happened that Peter and their staff have gone through and worked up and presenting the weird and wacky human nature that is Americans. That's one of those things, Peter.
Yeah.
Going through some of these headlines here, here's one that I liked. 31 secrets the food industry doesn't want you to know. Do you really know what's going into your mouth? And it's a National Pie. By the way, National Pie Day today, Peter. And do you have a favorite pie?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would probably just say pumpkin. I think I'm really kind of basic. Yeah. To be honest, I'm not a huge sweets person. I like pie, but it needs ice cream on the side. But I'd probably go pumpkin.
All right.
Food facts go, or the secrets that the food industry doesn't want you to know. And I think maybe this one a lot of people do know is natural flavors. When brands or products say there is absolutely no truth to that. And one of the funnier bits of that is there are some flavorings that are more flammable than others. And banana flavoring supposedly is highly, highly flammable.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think that means you could light a banana crisp or banana Laffy Taffy on fire, so to say, but the more you know, right?
Put some banana flavor in your mouth, you got to light a match, you got a flamethrower going on.
Possibly, yeah. And also, one that I think most people really do know is the reason, when you go out and dine in a restaurant, the reason that the food is typically so much better than what you use at home really just comes down to the copious amounts of butter. Restaurants use. whenever you think, oh, is this enough butter? Restaurants using 4, 5, 6 times as much butter. So
100%. We had a caller earlier talking about, well, what are their favorite pies? He says there's like a stick of butter in it. Well, any pie with a stick of butter, right? I mean, it's
gonna be great.
I mean, you know, you could clean out the litter box and put a stick of butter in it.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, it's
all right.
That litter pie with enough butter. Hey, I'll try one.
Are those raisins? No, I'm not sure what. Don't try that at home, ladies and gentlemen. Don't try that at home. We're not giving out cooking tips here, mind you. Peter Apine from EPOM's World. Give us a couple others headlines, a week in review from EPOM's World.
Yeah, so one thing that I've been kind of keeping my eye on and really hoping that we would have, we finally got this week, video footage of delivery robots being robbed. I don't know if you're aware of this, but a lot of startups that have started these, you know, new Uber Eats style delivery services. And in LA specifically, in Southern California, there's a lot of them. Well, our headline is R2D2 has fallen. Delivery robots are being attacked and robbed. And it's a video of a guy just walking up to one, opening the top and taking out the food, which chef's kiss.
Right?
Perfect, right? Like new problems and, you know, new... You got to work harder, not smarter, basically.
And we have these in Madison, Wisconsin, on the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus. There's a company, and they're little robots that have big wheels on them and an antenna, and they're lit so you can see them at night. And they deliver food, particularly to the lakeshore dorms where, you know, in the winter, this time of year, getting colder, kids don't want to go out. And so these robots go a mile and a half to deliver food in the snow and the cold and everything.
And it's great. I mean, right? He doesn't want, you know, a hot burrito late at night. It's cold. You don't want to leave.
Right.
But if you're, you know, down and out, you only got a couple bucks in your bank account, you might want to follow one. You never know. You might get a salad. You might get a burger. I'm not, you know,
it's like
encouraging
these people
rob robots.
No.
But.
No, it's like these people that, you know, they sell off, people who abandoned their U-Haul storage things, and they just cut the lock off. They open it up, but you might pay $10 or $200, and then who knows what's inside?
Yeah, you never know. You never know what you're going to get. That was a fun one.
And now, of course, now we're going to have to arm our robots to make sure that they get there safely.
Yeah. Oh, totally. another really kind of short, fun, pranky video we had this week. And we do a lot of like car content, you know, a lot of whether it's, I don't want to say crashes, but, you know, silly stuff happening on the roadways or weird things that mechanics kind of deal with. This mechanic shared a video where someone brought in a truck, and I kid you not, every single button control in the truck activated the horn. The volume, the air, the door keypad, the emergency light, every button in the car played the horn, which,
good Lord,
how does that even happen?
Right?
It's probably one of the best watches for me of the week. Just hilarious, yeah.
But about a minute left here. Tis the season. This headline on epomsworld.com. Beware of real trees. Woman's Christmas tree hatches hundreds of praying mantises. Say what, Peter Apine?
Yeah, imagine that. You go chop down a real tree, bring it into your house, and then you have a plague, a swarm of praying mantises. Just like perfect. Yeah.
That's crazy. I've heard it. I think there was a person one time that cut down a tree and an owl like clung to it. They had an owl in the house, but having an outbreak of praying mantises in the house?
I know. So silly. I mean, what do you do at that juncture? I guess next year these people are going to just get a fake tree, right?
They'll be traumatized by real trees.
Yeah.
The scent of pine in the shopping mall will set them off. Peter Apine, you're fantastic. We appreciate you making the time for us each and every other Friday. People can find the work at EPOMS, plural, EPOMS World.
It is a B, B as in boy.
Yes.
It just sounded kind of like a P as in Peter when you were saying
that. Well, I'm still suffering the sinuses. I'm sorry. But yes, Mr. Zomers is right. EBOMS World, B as in boy, .com. Peter Apine, you're fantastic, my friend. You know, and congratulations on getting the number at the speed round dating.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Always a pleasure. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Hey, you too.
Thank you so much. Yeah. We appreciate Peter being here. Appreciate Phil Nee from WRCO, WRCE. Mr. Zomers, happy birthday, my friend. Have a great birthday. Thank you all for listening. Mr. Matt Flynn is next. Matt Flynn Direct. Do not miss that. We'll see you next week. Make it a great week in Wisconsin. Until then, this is Todd Allball saying keep banging your drum on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's nothing better than the vilest soup.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. Hunter Biden goes to the U.S. Capitol.
I'm here today to acknowledge that I've made mistakes in my life and wasted opportunities and privileges I was afforded.
But the president's son did not comply with a Republican subpoena for